I want to just start out this morning. We are on part three of a series we're doing on overcoming. And the first week that I preached, do we have that slide up? It was the overcoming. I talked about American Ninja Warriors. Remember that, those who were here? If you wasn't here, go back under our media live archived events, and you can watch what we did, what I did 2 weeks ago. And I talked about American Ninja Warrior, and I talked about how me and my kids love to watch that. That in life, you have obstacles that you're going to have to overcome. It's just a part of life. And so I talked about what obstacles do in your life, what God uses them for to build inside of you. I talked about your response to how you should respond to obstacles. So go back and listen to that. Now today, I'm going to continue with the series on it, on the obstacles, or basically overcoming. I'm going to continue to talk about different obstacles that come up. Now, John 16:33 says, and this is our verse that we're establishing this whole series on, is it says, "These things I have spoken to you, so that in me you may have peace. In the world you have tribulation, but take courage, I have overcome the world." So we're talking about overcoming. Overcoming the world, the things that take place in the world. And we're going to talk about Elijah some this morning. All right, out of the Old Testament. And invariably a question comes to me, well, what does Elijah have to do with anything? 3,000 plus or so years ago, what does his life have to do with me today in modern society? But one thing I have learned, and I think is a very truthful statement, that people of all ages, of all times, of all cultures have certain things that they have to deal with. They had the same hopes, fears for the future and the past, the same struggles that we have. So we have an example in the Old Testament of people who do things, sometimes we good ways, sometimes they don't do it so good. So we have examples of God's people in the Old Testament so that we can look back and learn what we can learn from their victories and what we've learned from their mistakes. So when I talk about Elijah, we're going to look through some of the stuff that he did. He was a man of faith. And let me just say, I got 6 points today. If I get to them, get to them all. If not, I'll come back around on it. But there are 6 different points and different obstacles that he's facing that you could almost preach a sermon on every one of these individual points. So what I'm going to do is give you a snapshot of each one of these to give you a taste of what it means to overcome in life and overcoming. So let me pray here as we get started. Father, in the name of Jesus, I thank you for your goodness. I thank you for your grace. I thank you, Lord Jesus, that you're with us. Lord, I pray as we study your word this morning, as we continue to look at your scripture, I pray that you would guide us, lead us and guide us. In Jesus' name, amen. Now, I'm starting in 1 Kings chapter 17, and I'm going to read through some of this. Now, Elijah the Tishbite, who was of the settlers of Gilead, said to Ahab, now Ahab was not a righteous king, y'all, "As the Lord, the God of Israel, lives, before whom I stand, currently there shall be neither dew nor rain these days except by my word." And the word of the Lord came to him, saying, "Go away from here and turn eastward and hide yourself by the brook of Cherith, which is the east of Jordan. It shall be that you will drink of this brook, and I have commanded the ravens to provide for you there." So he went and did according to the word of the Lord, for he went and lived by the brook of Cherith, which is east of the Jordan. The ravens brought him bread and meat in the morning, and bread and meat in the evening. And he would drink from the brook. And it happened after a while that the brook dried up because there was no rain in the land. Then the Lord said, now hang with me here, "Arise, go to Zarephath, which belongs to Sidon, and stay there. Behold, I have commanded a widow there to provide for you." So he lived, arose, and went to Zarephath. And when he came to the gate of the city, behold, a widow was there gathering sticks. And he called to her and said, "Please give me a little water in a jar that I may drink." And as she was going to get it, he called to her and said, "Please bring me a piece of bread in your hand." Keep in mind, there's a famine going on right now. And she said, "As the Lord your God lives, I have no bread, only a handful of flour in the bowl, and a little oil in the jar, and behold, I am gathering a few sticks that I may go in and prepare for me and my son that we may eat it and die." You get that now? She's going to eat and die. Then Elijah said to her, "Do not fear. Go, do as you have said, but make me a little bread cake from it first, and bring it to me, and afterwards you may make one for yourself and for your son. For thus says the Lord God of Israel, the bowl of flour will not be exhausted, nor shall the jar of oil be empty until the day that the Lord sends rain on the face of the earth." So then she went and did according to the word of Elijah. Verse 16, the bowl of flour was not exhausted, nor did the jar of oil become empty, according to the word of the Lord, which he spoke through Elijah. Number one, in life, you're going to face challenges of provision. Challenges of provision. In other words, you're worried about whether you're going to pay the bills or not. Worried about whether you can meet the mortgage, pay the bills, pay your school loans, eat, sleep, drive a car. There's going to be times in life that you're going to have some struggles financially. This widow thought she was going to live and just die. She's going to eat this little bit of stuff, live a little while longer, and die. I don't know about you, but I've had moments in my life I was wondering if I was going to make it. When me and Catherine first got married, I was living in this dumpy little apartment. Her poor mama thought she would never have nothing if she married me because I was a poor menace, campus minister. 1 2-week period, I think I had my check, was what, $28? I asked her this morning. She remembered exactly what it was. She remembered exactly how much money it was. For the what? It was for the month. Well, I tell you what, and I don't blame her mother. You come sit in my apartment, it had a gun hole shot where somebody had shot a bullet through my house in the window. They didn't fix it. Yeah, I was in there reading my Bible, and somebody shot a slug right through my window. And man, I tell you what, if I had been hit, I'd have gone and be with Jesus because I was reading the Bible when they went through. I'd have been entered into his presence with the word of God in my lap. And so, but thank God it didn't hit me. But I was in a dumpy apartment. Here we are wanting to get married to this really attractive brunette. I was wanting to get married. I'm sitting there thinking, how in the world am I going to do this? I remember talking to Pastor Mike, and he said, "Ed, you got to have some faith. Got to believe." I said, "How am I going to do this? How am I going to get married? How am I ever going to do this stuff?" It was just a real stronghold for me in my soul, a provision. Of course, Mike prayed me through it and helped me get over it. And I just didn't know what I was going to do. Driving that old Toyota Camry. Not was a Camry. Wasn't that nice. That old 289 Corolla. Having to drive a school bus because my support had fallen off. I was a campus minister at the time. I was driving a school bus, having support. Wanting to get married. Wondering what in the world I'm getting shot at in my apartment. I walk around on campus. Nobody wants to come to the meetings. I'm like, what am I doing with my life? How am I going to do all this? And somebody, but you know, this woman thought she was going to die but you know, God promised her that if you feed this prophet, I'm going to provide for you. I'm going to make it happen for you. And it says many days she went and they did not go hungry, whether it was supernatural, whether it was something in the natural where she always had somebody giving them food. I mean, she's hanging out with a prophet who didn't have a job. I mean, I doubt he was providing a lot of money for her. But you know, God was beginning to teach me about those ravens coming and feeding you. He sent the ravens to Elijah when he was sitting by the creek, and he brought ravens. He brought them bread. He brought them meat. I'd hate to think what kind of meat the raven was bringing them. But anyway, he was bringing them meat. And somebody came up to us, and I'm sitting here, step out in faith. I said, "Well, let's don't live in this apartment. It's too easy to get shot at from the road. Let's go to the one of these other ones up a little bit further up in the apartment complex. This is 14th Street on this end. Shouldn't have been getting shot at, but I did. I must have been doing something right in the spirit. Anyway, it was just a random drive-by. It wasn't nobody shooting at me particularly. All I know is the bullet would have hurt no matter what reason that I got shot at. But anyway. But I said, let's move up here on this side. And so we got us an apartment. We're about to move into it. And somebody came up to me and said, "Look, we're going to invest in a house. Rental property. We want you to come live in this house for us for less than half the rent of what it's due." I'm telling you, I understand what that raven's like. Somebody sent the raven. And we moved in that house, and it even had a washer and dryer in the house. I didn't have to go sit in the laundromat for 3 hours with 10 loads of clothes because I hadn't washed, taken a bath, excuse me, hadn't washed my clothes for months at a time. Not months at a time, a few weeks. I don't, you bachelors, don't even look at me like that. Because I used to have to go buy stuff at the laundry or go buy stuff at the store because I didn't have anything clean. I know what that's about.
Yes, sir.
I know some of you guys have done the same thing. Maybe some of you girls have too. Anyway, let's move on. But man, we thought we had arrived, man. God put us in a house with a washing machine and dryer inside of it. Nice place. But you know, it just showed me right there that God has got your back.
Yes, he does.
When you're trying to obey him and you're trying to live for him, and you want to do things the right way, and you're in obedience to him, he will provide for you. But you're going to have some challenges in life sometimes financially. That's why I always, even when I was at my worst moment, I tithed off of that little $28 check because I knew that if I did it, God would see it. And that God looks at my faithfulness, and I know that by faith that he would do it for me. Guys, I'm not going to get to this whole sermon today. We're going to go to part two. I've got so much to say. I'm only on part one. I got six parts. Let me talk to you young people like your dad, like I'm your daddy. Let me just say, the trend is you're not going to be able to get out of college and get everything you want as soon as you walk out of college. You're going to have a job making everything you want and all the money you want, can have the car, have everything you want. Sometimes those of us who have it now, we paid the price for it. And it takes time and energy and hard work.
Yes.
Thank God if you got some job. Maybe some of you have a job you can walk out and walk out of college and you can just get everything you want. But that's not the case for the, I'd say, 98% of us. So don't be discouraged if you can't come out making everything you want or getting everything you want. Take some time. There's going to be some challenges. There's going to be some financial challenges. There's going to be a price you got to pay to get where you want to be in the kingdom of God. That's unsolicited daddy advice for you. I'm going to keep giving it too, by the way, just to let you know. One of the greatest pressures that can come in a person's life is financial. Boy, it really brings out in you what's inside of you when you are struggling financially to pay the bills. I had a friend of mine who went to his mailbox. He was an early young campus minister. Nothing came in the mailbox. He kicked the mailbox. He confessed it to me later. At least he didn't cuss. He might have cussed it too. I don't know. I mean. But there's a pressure that comes. Financial pressure. That's a part of life that we have. Because this lady in here back 3,000 years ago was worried about starving to death. Everybody in every culture of every age wants to be fed and clothed. But I love what it says in Matthew chapter 6, verse 30. And if God so clothes the grass of the field, which is alive today and tomorrow is thrown into the furnace, will he not much more clothe you, you of little faith? Do not worry then, saying, what will we eat, or what will we drink, or what will we wear for clothing? For the Gentiles eagerly seek those things, for your heavenly Father knows that you need all these things. But seek first his kingdom and his righteousness, and all these things will be added to you. Do not worry about tomorrow, for tomorrow will care for itself. Each day has enough trouble of its own. Our God is for us. He's not against us. Jesus is for you. He's not against you. And even in your, when you're either if you're prospering or you're not prospering, he's still there. In your financial challenge, he's there. In your financial prosperity, he's there. If you're somewhere in the middle, he is there for you in these moments. And he will provide for you and he will meet your need. Stand on that word. This woman was got fed because she obeyed God. She obeyed Jesus. She didn't immediately turn away from Jesus and start blaming him because things wasn't going right in her life. Number two. Let's go on down a little bit further. 1 Kings says here, now it came about that after these days that the son of the woman, the mistress of the house, became sick. And his sickness was so severe that there was no breath left in him. So she said to Elijah, what do I have to do with you, O man of God? You have come to me to bring my iniquity to remembrance and to put my son to death. Now, that was not a lot of gratitude from her right there. He had just made sure she didn't starve to death. Now she's mad at him because her son has passed away. The story goes on that he takes the son, he lays on him three times and prayed, and the boy comes back to life. And then in that last verse, in verse 24, it says, "Then the woman said to Elijah, 'Now I know that you are a man of God, and the word of the Lord is in your mouth is true.'" Now, it took Elijah healing her son to believe that he was a man of God. It's like she had a question mark about whether that was the case. And here's why I believe it is. And number two here is, you're going to face physical and emotional challenges in this life. You're going to have some physical, emotional challenges. Sicknesses, physical, emotional, they're going to come to you. I wish I could promise you that you would never have a struggle. You would never have any kind of physical ailments. You would never have anything that happened in your life that you didn't like. I wish I could tell you that, but that's not the world in which we live. But I do believe we can overcome these things with the power of the Holy Spirit. We can overcome and live victorious in the middle of these things. I believe in healing. I believe in the miracle power of Jesus to heal people. We had testimonies on this mission trip where people were supernaturally healed. I believe that. I also believe that God uses natural means to bring about healing in physical moments. There are some of you in here who are doctors and or training to be a doctor, and you have a gift from God to minister to people and to bring healing into their life. That is a gift. What you do is a calling of God to help bring healing into people's lives. So God can do it supernaturally. He can do it naturally in the sense of doctors and stuff. He can also do it with how we eat and how we... I better shut up now. I'm getting to stuff that makes me uncomfortable. How we eat, how we exercise. I better stop before I start talking about cheeseburgers. I'm falling under conviction. Let's move on here. But it's interesting here, and as a caveat to this, even though she had not been hungry, the only thing that confirmed it in her heart was the fact that he touched her son and raised him from the dead. And some of the hardest obstacles that you will face in your life is with your children, your family, and your marriage. Not everybody's a parent in here, but I've been told, I don't have a lot, my children aren't completely grown, that the older, no matter how old they are, they're still your children. And you still feel it when they're going through stuff. That's what I've been told. And I believe it's true. But some of the hardest obstacles you're going to face in life is believing for your children, believing for your spouse, believing for all these kind of personal things. Because when it comes to your children or family members, parents, etc., it hits you at the most precious point in your heart. Gets you at the very core of who you are. No matter, so if you're having parent trouble, that's why it bothers you, because it gets you right in the core of who you are. That's why that is an obstacle we face. So I believe that's why she was convinced once she saved this, once she healed his son, oh, he's a man of God now, because of how precious it was. She was more concerned about her son than she was about food. So anyway, that's a little caveat to that. Number three. First Kings 19. Well, excuse me, First Kings 18. All right, let me get where I'm supposed to be. What's happened is Elijah, of course, there's been a drought. And there's a famine in the land. Found out it's been about 3 years. God ends up going to Elijah and said, okay, 3 years, go talk to Ahab. And so he goes and talks to Ahab. And it looks like Elijah has been under, the word would be he's been secretly living somewhere. Ahab couldn't find him, didn't know where he was. He was in hiding, didn't want to be attacked by Ahab. And so he finally reveals himself to Ahab. And then he goes up to Ahab and he says this. Ahab calls him and said, "Is this you, you troubler of Israel?" And he said, "I have not troubled Israel, but you and your father's house have, because you have forsaken the commandments of the Lord and have followed the Baals." Now then, send and gather to me all Israel at Mount Carmel, together with 450 prophets of Baal and 400 prophets of Asherah, who eat at Jezebel's table. Jezebel is his wife. So Ahab sent a message among all the people of Israel and brought the prophets together at Mount Carmel. Now Mount Carmel was a religious site which was very sacred to both the Baals and to those who worship Yahweh, what we would call Father God. And he stood them up between there and all the people, and he brought all the leaders in, and he said, "Now come to all the people," and said, "How long will you hesitate between two opinions? If the Lord is God, follow him, but if Baal, follow him." But the people did not answer him a word. They were afraid to say anything at this point. He said, and Elijah said to him, "I am the left alone. I alone am left, a prophet of the Lord, but Baal's prophets are 450. And he said, he goes on to say, "Well, let's cut up some oxen. Let's put them on an altar. Let's don't put any fire under it. And I'm going to do that, and you're going to do that, but we're not going to put any fire in it. And we're going to call out to your God and decide whose God is the right God." Now, the Baal followers, he was a storm god, so he was responsible for lightning and rain, and there's also a lot of fertility god and sexual immorality, just a grotesque kind of stuff between that and Asherah going on. And they were thinking, "Oh, we've got this because our God can bring down lightning. We're going to win this one because he's a god. He's the god of the storms and the lightning and all that stuff." And so let's read on and see what else, what happened here. 26, "And then they took the ox which was given them, and they prepared it, and called on the name of Baal from morning until night, saying, 'O Baal, answer us.' But there was no voice, and no one answered. And they leaped about the altar which they made. It came about at noon that Elijah mocked them and called with a loud voice, 'For he is a god.'" Now, the stuff that he's about to mock him is the stuff that they believed about Baal, so he knew what they believed. "Either he is occupied," in other words, he's meditating, "or he's gone aside." Some translations say he went to the bathroom. That's a hard area. That's a hard section to translate, but that's what some believe it means. "Or he's on a journey, or perhaps he's asleep." Yeah, they actually believe Baal would sleep, need to wake him up, and needs to be awakened. "So they cry with a loud voice and cut themselves, according to their custom, in words and lances until the blood gushed out of them. Then midday was passed, they raved or prophesied until the time of the offering at the evening sacrament, and there was no voice, and no one answered, and no one paid attention. And then Elijah said, 'Come near to me.' All the people came near, and he rebuilt the altar, he put the oxen on it, they sacrificed the oxen, put it up there. Not only that, but they poured water over it. This is a drought. I mean, this is severe. Poured all these buckets of water over it. It went into a trench they had around it, and then he went and prayed, and fire came down and consumed the altar. Not just the ox, but the altar. It says the dirt, the rocks, consumed it all. And, of course, by that point, everybody fell on their face and said, "Well, he is God." I mean, obviously, he is God. You know, my point here is, what is this, number three? This is number three. I'm about to tell you. This is number three. Number three is spiritual, religious, spiritual battle. He just went through a spiritual battle. I believe that everything we do is a spiritual battle. I believe that no matter where you are, it's spiritual. No matter what your job is, if you're living for Jesus, it's spiritual. And so many of you are facing opposition from within people who are around you, who have a different view of the Bible and Christianity than you do, who are not saved, who don't believe the way you believe. Some of them may be crooked. Some of them may want to do things illegally or go around about a way, shortcuts to get to success. And you're trying to be a godly person in the midst of this. There's a spiritual oppression that you have. There's a spiritual battle that you have that takes place during this time. There's a religious opposition, a battle that takes place. And let me just say, I believe that if you realize that you're in a spiritual battle, there's going to be people who don't agree with you, who don't necessarily like you, who are envious of you. But I believe if you walk according to integrity, that God will bless you. God will honor you. And those who take shortcuts, eventually it's going to catch up with them. Because the Bible says, you reap what you sow. And so the third obstacle you're going to face is spiritual warfare is going to be a part of who you are as you're trying to live for Jesus. Ecclesiastes 11 says, sow your seed in the morning, and do not be idle in the evening, for you do not know whether morning or evening sowing will succeed, or whether both of them alike will be good. Number four, if I go through this, I can get through them here. 1 Kings 18:41. Now Elijah said to Ahab, now this is after he has won the battle. They took all those prophets down to the creek bank and killed all of them. Elijah didn't mess around now. If you're going to worship the devil, he's going to make sure you're going on to him quickly. And so he killed them at the creek point. And then it says, he went and it says, so Ahab went up to the eat and drink, but Elijah went up to the top of Carmel, and he crouched down on the earth and put his face between his knees, and he said to his servants, go up now, look toward the sea. So he went up and looked toward the sea, looked and said, there's nothing. And he said, go back seven times. And eventually it says, and it came about in the seventh time, behold, a cloud as small as a man's hand is coming up from the sea. And he said, go up, say to Ahab, prepare your chariot and go down so that the heavy shower does not stop you. Number four is the challenge or the obstacle of delayed answers to prayer. If Elijah had stopped praying after the first time, it would have never happened. So he said, go back seven times. And as he went back, eventually the cloud began to form, and he began to see the cloud coming, and it ended up the rain came after 3 years. Now, what is it about us? Me. I pray one time, and if it doesn't happen like a genie in a bottle, I give up. Oh, well, I guess God doesn't really want to answer my prayer. But here he says, he went back seven times. Let me read this passage to you. Jesus here. He said, ask, and it will be given to you. Seek, and you will find. Knock, and it will be opened to you. For everyone who asks receives, and he who seeks finds. And to him who knocks, it will be opened to you. In this passage, the Greek here is a present, active, imperative. In other words, when he says ask, there's an implication of keep asking. In other words, it's present. It's active right now. It's imperative. It's a commandment. And so that's the Greek tense and the mood of the Greek there. And what he's saying is keep on asking. Keep on seeking. Keep on knocking. Don't stop. Keep hanging in there. Don't stop believing. And 2 weeks ago I said I was not going to break down in that song. And I'm not going to do it this week. Don't stop believing. But we got to believe God, stand and believe. And it says, I love this story here. A certain day there was a judge who did not fear God and did not respect man. There was a widow in that city, and she kept coming to him saying, give me legal protection from my opponent. For a while he was unwilling, but after he said to himself, even though I do not fear God nor respect man, yet because this widow bothers me, I will give her legal protection. Otherwise, by continually coming, she will wear me out. You hearing what I'm saying here? You hearing this verse? And the Lord said, hear what the unrighteous judge said. Now, will not God bring about justice for the elect who cry to him day and night? And will he delay long over them? Keep asking. Keep seeking. Keep knocking. He hears your prayer. He hears what's going on in your life. He knows you. He's intimately acquainted with all your ways. We can have faith and trust in Jesus. I know we have some hard weeks. Anybody ever have a hard week? Man, I have a hard week in your job, or your hard week in your profession or at home. These hard weeks, Jesus is there for us during these times. And we're to continue to pray and believe. I've got a couple more points. I don't have time. I'll come back to them next time. But Jesus is here to help us overcome all of these things. He's here to help us overcome when we're stressed out. He's here to encourage us when we've had a tough week. And he says, don't stop praying. Keep asking. Keep believing. Keep going after him. Because I really believe he wants to give us an overcoming life. He wants us to stand firm on what we believe according to this word. You know, Jesus didn't just come here just so that we can go to heaven when we die. He came here because he wanted to give us life and have it more abundantly. He wanted to give us life. And we see God coming and meeting Elijah at every point. And I tell you what, I have a feeling Elijah was a lot more pressure than we ever are at most of the time. His life was in danger. You know, if God hadn't set down fire, they would have killed Elijah right there on the spot. But God came through for him financially, came through for him emotionally, came through for him in his provision, came through for him and delayed answering the prayer. He kept hanging in there, kept believing, kept seeing. You know, my desire here is that Sunday mornings when you come in here, that you'll leave out more encouraged than you came in. That after a hard week of battling and having struggles and hard and pressures, that you'll come in here and feel lifted up, feel refreshed, feel encouraged. I'm here to tell you today, be encouraged because Jesus is here for you. Like I said, he's not just about getting you saved and getting you to go to heaven when you die. Jesus is about transforming your life. When he died on that cross, when he rose from the dead, he wanted to impact us and transform us from the inside out so that we can live according to the way he wants us to live, so that we can fulfill all the call of God that's on our lives. All of us have a calling. All of us have a purpose. All of us have a destiny that God wants to fulfill. And as long as you're living and breathing, you still have a destiny to live and a destiny to fulfill. So it's not about age. You could be, you know, just born all the way to 105, whatever, you still have a purpose. You still have a reason for being here. And Jesus died on the cross, and he rose from the dead so that we could be, so that we could overcome, so that we could be forgiven of our sins, so that we could have hope for the future, that knowing that no matter what struggles that we go through, no matter what pressures that we feel, he's closer than a brother. He's right there. He's right there with us. He suffered and died on that cross. He bore our pains. He bore our sicknesses. He bore our emotional well-being on that cross. And by him raising from the dead, he confirmed that he released all the power and everything we need to live a godly life. He's given to us because he rose from the dead, and the release of the Holy Spirit was released into your life. So if you're saved, if you're born again, the Spirit of God has come to live inside of you. And in that Holy Spirit, you can have an overcoming, successful life. But you're going to have some challenges to overcome. You're going to have some obstacles that are going to hit your life. But he's given you everything you need to do that. So no matter what kind of job you have, no matter where you are in your life, realize this, that you're doing something for the kingdom of God. Your life is important. It doesn't matter what you're doing. If you're retired in here today, there's a purpose for your retirement so you can do other things. There is a reason. You're not just punching a clock. You're not just, you know, figuring out engineering problems day in and day out. You're not just teaching another class. You are making a difference in the lives of people. You're not just changing another diaper if you're a mother. You are making a difference whether you know it or not, because the Holy Spirit lives inside of you. And on the worst days, when you feel like you're not making a difference, you are. You are making a difference. Your life matters during those times. Because a lot of times, when you're struggling the most is when people are watching you the most. They are watching you. They're looking at you to see how you're going to respond. I wish I could say I responded right all the time. I haven't. But one thing I do think I've tried to do is make sure that I repented quickly when I didn't respond right. Or I apologize to who I need to apologize to. Or I, you know, did what I needed to do to make it right on my end. But Jesus paid the price. He took those pressures that we feel upon him. The pressures to meet those quotas and your sales quotas. He is intimately acquainted in everything you do. Include him. in everything that you do. But that gospel message is the good news that Jesus Christ died for you. He rose from the dead. And now he wants to inhabit your life, and he wants to transform you, and he wants you to fulfill the call that he has in your life. That's who we serve. That's the kind of God that we serve. That's the Jesus that we serve. So I want you to walk out of here today saying, I am a child of God. I am an overcomer. The blood of the Lamb covers me. And even in my weakest moment, I am strong in him. That I don't have to be defeated. That I can walk in confidence and faith in this Savior because of what he did already. He already overcome so that I can overcome. And I can be the man or woman of God that he's called me to be. I didn't get a chance to finish up all of what I want to talk about Elijah. We'll come back around to that. But I want to just challenge you today. If you don't know Jesus in here today, the hope for the world is Jesus Christ. So let's pray. Father, in the name of Jesus, I thank you, Lord, that you paid the price. You overcame for us. You're the one who was and who is to come. You're the God who's more than enough to meet every need. If you're in here today and you say, Eddie, I need to commit my life to Jesus this morning. Maybe you served him in the past. Maybe you've fallen away. Maybe you need to come back to Jesus. If that's you, raise your hand. I just want to pray for you. Nobody's going to be looking at you. Nobody's looking at you. Thank you. That hand. Anybody else? You can put your hand down. Anybody else? For those, thank you. You can put your hand down. Wait just a moment. If anybody else who needs to say, I need to give it to Jesus this morning. Thank you. Y'all can put your hands down. Thank you. For those of you who raised your hand this morning, or even if you didn't, you can pray this prayer after me and say, Jesus, I repent of my sin. I ask you to forgive me. I ask you to come into my life. I surrender myself to you this morning. I make you my Lord and my Savior this morning. Thank you, Jesus, for forgiving me. Thank you for saving me. Thank you for getting me back on track with you this morning. In Jesus' name, amen. If you prayed that prayer with me this morning, we have some information down here in front. If you raised your hand, I got some Bible studies I'd like for you to come up, and I'd like to meet you. Come on up and let me give you one of these Bible studies you can go through to get your foundations established in your faith. So good to have everybody this morning. So glad to have you. Betty, can you take us out with a little chorus this morning?